Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Kaba Tahwai. It is Egypt's second anniversary of the revolution that ousted Hosni Mubarak and brought in Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood. After 2 years, political tensions are still simmering with economic woes biting. Is this what the Egyptians fought and gave their lives for? This debate will take a look at how close or how far Egypt is in achieving the revolution's demands.
Hundreds of thousands of Egyptians took to the streets to mark the second anniversary of the revolution of January the 25th. In the capital, rallies from all of Cairo's neighborhoods marched towards Tahrir Square. That's while four other marches made their way to the presidential palace. Large protests also took place in other cities across Egypt, where protesters said they're out calling for the downfall of the regime, just as they did against Mubarak in 2011. They're also calling for the realization of other main demands raised in the early days of the Egyptian revolution.
The people are outraged because nothing has changed since the revolution, and those who killed the protesters have not been brought to justice.
Slogans against President Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as social demands and justice for the martyrs, were the main calls of the protesters.
Why should we remain under torture for 2 years now? Why? What have you done for us? It's unfair. You've hijacked the revolution. Who told you to do this?
Clashes erupted in a number of governorates, including Cairo, Alexandria, and Suez, between security forces and protesters. Security forces fired tear gas and rubber pellets in their attempts to push the protesters away from government buildings, resulting in dozens of injuries. On the other side, government officials have made strong statements over the past week, emphasizing that the government will strike with an iron fist if anyone tries to destabilize the country or cause violence.
Many analysts believe that no one can speculate where this situation will end up. Tensions are running high, with a high vulnerability of escalating clashes between anti-government protesters and security forces, making it more evident that roundtable discussions between Egyptians need to take place to end the current crisis. Karim Gamaluddin, Press TV, Cairo.
Egypt revolution anniversary. Do Egyptians have anything to celebrate after 2 years? Well, let's get this debate going. Let me introduce our guest, founder of the Egyptian UK Association, Mustafa Raghab, joins us from London. We have editor of the Pan-African Newswire, Abiyomi Azikiwe, who joins us from Detroit. Gentlemen, welcome. Mustafa Raghab. Mahmoud Hussein, Secretary General of the Muslim Brotherhood, has said 2 years in, some of the revolution's objectives have been achieved. What has the MB and Morsi achieved in 2 years' time? Do Egyptians have anything to celebrate?
Oh, I can hear you. Thank you very much. We don't have much to celebrate. I don't want to say we don't have nothing to celebrate. The only thing that we could say that have been achieved so far, that Hosni Mubarak is gone. Otherwise, there's nothing have been changed. We've been always facing trouble in the streets of Egypt in general. And we have a government that unable to control the situation. Only when there is an election, the streets of Egypt will be controlled. Otherwise, there is chaos all over the country. And we lived in that for 2 years now. If we say we have something to celebrate today, I'm sorry to say we don't have much to celebrate.
Abiyomi Azikiwe, do you think the Muslim Brotherhood with Mohamed Morsi have had enough time to get the country at least going into the right direction? What is your assessment after 2 years' time?
It's going to be very difficult for the Freedom and Justice Party to normalize the situation inside the country when you still have tremendous social problems inside of Egypt. The youth unemployment rate is astronomically high. The overall jobless rate is also extremely high. You still have a tremendous amount of poverty, and also political repression is still very much a part of the body politic inside of Egypt. But what we've seen today and as well as yesterday, where we've had widespread demonstrations, not just in the capital of Cairo, but also in Alexandria, in Port Said, in the Suez and Nile regions. And this, of course, represents the broad discontent that exists among the people inside of Egypt. I think that the Freedom and Justice Party government under President Morsi has to open up genuine dialogue with all of the revolutionary organizations, with the trade unions, with the intellectuals inside the country. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult for Egypt to stabilize its economy as well as the overall political situation inside the country. Also, in regard to the foreign policy of the country. There's a lot to be desired. The impact of the U.S. dominance of Egypt over the last 3.5 decades is still stifling and hampering the capacity of the country to develop its own independent path.
Well, let me bring in a political activist from Cairo, Hisham El-Battal, who joins us. Hisham El-Battal, one guest in London, not much to be happy about on the second year anniversary. And our guests there in Detroit, there are still some challenges. What do you think in terms of the Muslim Brotherhood and Mohamed Morsi? Do they have anything to show for their report card in these past 2 years? Give us some examples of some of their achievements.
Would you please repeat the last part of the question again?
Sure. 2 years into the revolution, give us some examples of the Muslim Brotherhood and Mohamed Morsi's achievements.
Like, for example, the dismissal of the military council. This is one of the greatest achievements of Mr. President Mohamed Morsi, because after 60 years of military rule, Egypt now enjoys a civil rule. And this is why those demonstrations are now on the street saying, opposing the regime, and even some of them are insulting the regime and the president with utmost freedom. And this is, if he achieved only this, if he achieved only this, the dismissal of the, or the ousting of the military council and the termination of the military rule in Egypt, that would be his first and his biggest achievement.
Mustafa Ragab, one achievement, a big one. Your reaction?
I'm very proud that those people who voted for the Constitution, the vote for the Constitution was 63.8%. This something that makes me proud as an Egyptian, by the way.
Very well. Two achievements there. Mustafa Ragab, go ahead.
We don't want to kid ourselves. The people that came out on the 25th of January, 2 years ago, and they're not going to go back, regardless who is in power. So if we say that this is an achievement, this has been achieved on the 25th of January, 2 years ago, and there is no going back on it. We would like to hear some achievement. Achievement will come in stability, in employment, in improving the economy. We don't want to say that people say we achieved, that we have people expressing their feeling in the street. This has happened 2 years ago, and there is no going back on it. So please, 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 give us some achievement that you think you've done. We can't see an achievement. We can't see stability in the streets of Egypt. We cannot see employment has been improved. We cannot see education has been improved. We cannot see economy has been improved. So what is achievement to you? That people demonstrating in the street? Is that what we call achievement? We want those people not to be in the streets. We want those people to be at work. We want those people to be in university. We want those people to be doing their works. We want those people to build the country, not to be in the streets of Cairo demonstrating because there's nothing being achieved.
Very well. We're going to have you, Hisham El-Battal, to come back with some answers, but hold your thoughts, because there's so many people that are responding to the second year anniversary. And I'd like to reflect on a couple of those comments. One comment, Moses Sawaga Subuga has said, would Israel and the USA allow Egypt to be free? There's the comments right there. Would Israel and the USA allow Egypt to be free after their puppet Mubarak? That seems to be something echoed in so many words by many viewers. Abayo Izikewi, does this particular viewer, like others, have a point?
Most definitely. And that was what I was trying to stress in my initial comments, is that the situation inside of Egypt has been severely affected as a result of the foreign policy of the previous government of Hosni Mubarak, the National Democratic Party, their close links with the U.S., successive American administrations, and also the separate peace treaty with the State of Israel during the late 1970s. These agreements have stifled the overall developmental trajectory of the Egyptian government. And it's going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the government of President Morsi to make any progress among the majority of people inside the country if they do not make drastic changes in regard to its relationship to the State of Israel as well as the United States. And recently, the International Monetary Fund has been holding negotiations with the government in Egypt over the transfer of some $5 billion. And other governments throughout the Middle East, for example, Qatar, has been holding negotiations with the Egyptian government over the extension of the possibility of some $16 billion in investment there. This may sound good on the surface, but if you look at what is going to go along with those agreements, it's going to be very difficult for Egypt to strike out on an independent course when you have the International Monetary Fund, you have the United States, you have the Qatari government putting pressure on President Morsi to maintain Egypt's alliance with the United States, as well as not to really challenge, effectively challenge, the State of Israel's position
right.
Within the region. So it's going to be very, very difficult to move forward with those type of international pressures.
Right. I wasn't aware Qatar was up to $16 billion. Anyways, Hisham al-Battal, Mustafa Raghab, Saints to Think. And there's some stats here that prove what he has said about the poverty rate. It has increased. The national unemployment, that has increased. Inflation has reached new peaks. Can you please convince Mustafa Raghab otherwise? Hisham al-Battal, our guest Mustafa Raghab, about poverty rates, about the unemployment.
Yes, I would like to comment on what Mr. Mustafa Raghab said first. Mr. Mustafa Raghab was asking the president to improve the employment rates in 6 months after he received it as a ruined by a 30-year-old military regime. This is absurd to ask a president of Egypt after 2 years of demonstrations and after 60 years of military rule to improve the employment rates, and at the same time asking people to go to the street and just to demonstrate against some vague things like filling the ranks of the state of with the Muslim Brotherhood. This is absurd to ask the president to move within all these things. By the way, I have just come from Tahrir Square, and I found the harassment, people harassing girls, and people just insulting each other. This is not what happened in our revolution. I was one of those who participated in the revolution. We did not behave like this. This is not leading to anywhere. If the liberal and the socialist sects think that they can just overrun the regime and oust the president and just by only a demonstration after a people referendum, this is absurd and this is imagination. This is even beyond imagination. And asking the president to improve everything in 6 months while not talking and not uttering a word during 30 years of very tiring rule of the ousted President Hosni Mubarak is also absurd.
Very well. Mustafa Raghab, go ahead.
Thank you.
I mean, we can't really live with that. Everyone comes and say we have taken a collapsed country and don't expect us to improve it in 6 months. Come up with a plan. Show us your plans for this improvement. Come up with a better communication channels to communicate with the people and engage with the people. It is very clear that there is no clear communication. There is no clear plans. If you show me a plan, if you show the Egyptian people a plan, if you make them have the confidence in your work, then things will be different. But when you have a government who coming up every day with a surprise decisions, not looking at the reaction of the streets in Egypt and how the people gonna react, this is not gonna create
okay.
any stability.
Hisham al-Battal, what plans has the government proposed?
The world.
Give us some examples.
The world will not be improved in 6 months.
Let Hisham al-Battal come up with an answer for that. Hisham al-Battal, Any examples of plans, as our guest Mr. Raghab said, by the government? Give us some examples.
The government is working. For example, we have I'm not going to call this achievement because we are trying just to reach the level of normal states. But I'm going to give you three examples that happened last days. The establishment of the first flying police helicopter and the hovering of the first helicopters in Cairo skies, and the River Nile ambulances. And the opening or the inauguration of a million, what is called a huge bread outlets. These are, of course, and even buying or selling some goods to the people at 15% lower than the market. Of course, this is an achievement, but the market is not the market. The market, what I mean by the market is the Egyptian political arena. It's not saturated, because you're giving this to a very thirsty country.
Well, let's thank you for that. Thank you for that. And I'm sorry to jump in. I'd like to get Mr. Azikiwe in on this. Thank you. Hold your thoughts. Mr. Azikiwe, bread, that's disputed in terms of it being available, one of the demands of the revolution. Ambulances, helicopters, I believe I heard, and giving some food at below wholesale prices. Does that match 2 years since the revolution in terms of what the government has done?
It's a pity
well,
that we...
Mr. Azikiwe, go ahead.
Now, I understand what our colleague is saying. The situation is not going to be reversed in 6 months. It's going to take years and perhaps decades to turn around the political and economic system in Egypt. But at the same time, the masses are in the streets. And they're reiterating the demands of the January 25th, 2011 revolution, freedom, peace, and social justice. And I think it has resonance in Egypt and throughout the entire region. The dominance of foreign powers within North Africa and the Middle East is a very, very important factor in this whole scenario. And it's going to be very difficult for President Morsi to make improvements inside the country if they don't take a firm position against the long, decades-long pattern that has been in effect in Egypt. For example, Egypt's relationship in regard to the supply of natural gas to the state of Israel. This is something that has been an extreme source of contention on the part of many people inside the country because
very
they're
well,
not benefiting.
Azikiwe.
The masses are not benefiting
again,
from these
since we're short of time, I'd like to again reflect on a viewer comment that came in. This from Shadrach Nota, if we can roll that so we can have our guest there, Mustafa Raghab, respond to it. And she has said, the new pharaoh is the major challenge in Egypt. Again, the new pharaoh is the major challenge
pharaoh?
In Egypt. Mustafa Raghab, has there been a power grab by Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt?
Well, I think that it's very clear that this is what they're trying to do, and this is where we're going wrong. The concentration with the government in Egypt now is to have the Muslim Brotherhood in control everywhere, rather than seeing to the true problems in the country. I will understand that the government will be from the Muslim Brotherhood, but I wouldn't go as far as the local authorities and every other position in the country. And not to make this as a reward to the Muslim Brotherhood who suffered in the time of Hosni Mubarak or Anwar al-Sadat or Abdel Nasser. You don't come today to give them the reward. You now concentrate on rebuilding the country. You concentrate on seeing what needs to be done locally and internationally.
Very well. The I'd like to get a reaction from Hisham al-Battal on that viewer comment. Hisham al-Battal, do you agree the new pharaoh is the major challenge? Okay, very well.
Did you say the challenge is facing the Egyptian revolution?
No, the new pharaoh being the major challenge in reference to Mohamed Morsi being called the new pharaoh.
New pharaoh is going is a name that could have been given to Hosni Mubarak. New pharaoh is funny. The name new pharaoh, people do not demonstrate against new pharaohs. New pharaohs only 12 people. This is funny. It makes me laugh, by the way. The word, new pharaoh. We have a constitution that was passed by the people at 63.8%. We don't have pharaohs. We have an elected president, the first elected civil president in the history of Egypt since its creation.
We're fresh out of time. Thank you very much. We do appreciate it. Political activist Hisham El-Battal, also founder of the Egyptian UK Association, Mustafa Raghab, and editor of Pan-African Newswire, Abiyomi Azikiwe. Thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Any comments or questions, newsroom@presstv.ir. From Ikaba Tahwe and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.